All right. Welcome, everyone. I'm back. if you were here in the room before as well, I just had a talk like an hour ago. But now I'm going to give a talk again, this time about my summer vacation of last year. I fell into a deep rabbit hole of reverse engineering VMFS and ESXi kernel, and I thought it'd be fun to show you my vacation pictures, so to say. Quick introduction. I have a lot of slides. I didn't learn anything from the previous presentation, so I'll go a little bit quickly. Very quickly, I work at FoxD for 10 years now. I'm a security researcher. I do R&D, reverse engineering development, author of Dissect, which the talk an hour ago was about. And VMFS is something we support in Dissect and something I spent quite a bit of time on. A quick glossary. So Dissect, I'm not going to go into detail what Dissect is. So I'm going to summarize the talk from an hour ago in one sentence. It's a system investigation network, and it's in pure Python, and it's pretty good. You should try it. Acquire, it's a tool that's built on Dissect that allows us to collect artifacts from all kinds of different systems. ESXi, if you're not aware, hypervisor, runs on bare metal. And VMFS is kind of like the proprietary file system that ESXi uses to do like multi-host file systems and allow file locking for that and stuff like that. VMFS 3, this will be important later, introduced directories, which is very exciting. And VMFS 5 and 6 are largely incremental improvements on VMFS 3. And why this is important, you'll see later. So I think this is like a few years ago, I think like 2018 or something like that. We were already kind of playing around with hypervisor-based data acquisition, but it was very cumbersome. So basically what we would do, only in very specific configurations, so if there was a hypervisor that was connected to a storage network, we would slide in an additional server basically attached to the storage network, mount the storage that the data store was on for the hypervisor, use the open source available VMFS or VMFS 6 tools to mount the data store, and then run the acquire tool against the virtual machines on that data store. However, there is a slight problem with that, which is that VMFS tools is pretty broken. There's a lot of bugs in there, which means we got a lot of data corruption, missing data, just straight up virtual machines that we couldn't acquire, which is pretty bad if you're trying to investigate an entire entire network. And it's unmaintained, which is not that good either. So armed with IDA, I thought like, wow, how hard could it be? Like a year later or so, we had like a job that was like, hey, we have this RAID set up. It's trashed. Please recover my data. And it was of a RAID of a VMFS data store. And to be able to kind of aid my or make my job a little bit easier on recovering the RAID configuration, I just built some tools to interact, kind of like peek at the VMFS structures and to kind of like calculate some of the offsets so I can see if I got the RAID configuration and the striping right and stuff like that. So I built some inspection tools, and kind of my high-level understanding of VMFS at that point looked a little bit like this. So you have a disk, and then you have your regular partition table on that. And then you have like a VMFS-specific LVM implementation that's on some offset or some partition. And then within that, you kind of like have VMFS, and you have your your metadata files, kind of similar to how NTFS has like the MFT and the user journal and stuff like that. VMFS takes kind of like a page out of that book instead of being more like other Unix file systems, which all have like just data structures on disk. VMFS takes the approach of data structures are in files, or the metadata structures are files, so to say. And then if you interpret those, you can list your virtual machines and reach your very exciting directory structures. So I wrote a implementation, is the very short summary of that. I was like, well, I wrote all these inspection tools, might as well pull through and make my own implementation. I took a little bit of VMFS tools and a little bit of IDA because I didn't have that much time to write my implementation, so I was like, well, just do it quickly. I fixed some of the most obvious VMFS tools bugs, like there were just UN64, that was like unaligned of like some offset. So sometimes the like a few bytes would be out of bounds of the field of structure, and then it would calculate the entirely wrong offset for some file. And I'll have some to-dos for the future, of course, because you know, whoever finishes all their products right away in the first line. An added benefit that we actually got with this is I integrated VMFS into Dask Target, which is kind of like the big framework. And because Acquire is built on Dask Target, this means that Acquire also automatically gets support for VMFS. And it just happens to be that if you're on an ESXi shell, like on SSH or just like the physical shell, you can actually read the block devices that the data store is stored on, at least if it's local storage. vSAN is a whole different beast. We're not going to go into that. But if it's like local or iSCSI storage, you can actually just access the block device, read it. You can even write to it if you want. Exciting things there. This means that if we just run an executable on the system, we can just open the block devices, parse the partition table, parse the VMFS file structures, and just start reading files straight from the block device. Kind of like how things like raw copy work on Windows as well. And all was good in the world until you know, you open source it and someone comes along and says, your shit's broken. And then you're pretty sad because that means you have to start looking into it again. And I got a pretty nice, you know, I got a stack trace, so that's pretty good. But someone came along and was like, you know, if I just create a big data store and I create two directories in there and I try to list the second directory, it breaks. So that's a pretty big problem because, you know, 65 terabytes is not that big in the sense of big ESXi deployments. So, you know, we do have to take this seriously because we ourselves will probably encounter this pretty soon as well. So I started investigating. We talked on Discord. I spent some time like setting up, trying to get a reproducible case. Luckily, this guy just like really shares some of his workflow and like what he thinks is wrong as well, which aids in my investigation as well. I have some suspicion of what might be wrong at this point, but not quite sure. But I am able to reproduce the case, like just a very bare bones reproduction. And it turns out if there's any file system that's just bigger than 16 terabytes, then it just starts breaking for some reason. So I started noticing this specific symptom. Just like I said, for everything over 16 terabytes, it just breaks. And reading like the small block system resource file, it just starts giving me the wrong data. And in VMFS, like file blocks are allocated either large block or small block. Most of the things are small blocks. The directory information is small blocks. But then, you know, like VMDK data would be a large block. And, you know, I'm trying to read a directory content, which would be in a small block file. And if that doesn't work, or if it gives me the wrong data, I'm starting to parse the wrong directory information. And the cause is who knows what. I don't know yet. So, but at least I can reproduce. You know, I can't hide between or behind, you know, works on my machine. So I just start inspecting my own code, really start combing through it and, you know, trying to find anything that might be wrong here. And, you know, adding debug prints, you know, debug statements, trying to see if I can find out what's wrong. I did find a discrepancy, but I can't explain it. So I start reverse engineering VMFS again. Still can't explain it. So I'm like starting to go a little bit deeper reverse engineering again. And like at this point, I'm basically re-implementing my own implementation from scratch again. But I still can't explain actually what's wrong. Like at this point, I've just reverse engineered and re-created a whole new implementation from scratch up until the point where I can start reading directories again. And it's still wrong. And I'm pretty sure I got it right, you know, this time looking and comparing it against IDA. But still, I'm just way off. So what does the bug actually look like? Well, you know, just this hypothetical hex dump of the small block file. This is what I would expect at from reading from these offsets. And this is what I get. So spot the differences. I'm just like 0x160 off for some reason, and I have no idea why. I do report back to the initial bug reporter, like, hey, I've determined this. I started re-implementing it. I still really can't figure out why I'm that many bytes off. It's pretty big. So it's not like off by one. It's off by like a megabyte, a little bit more even. And I even found out that like there's some debug logging you can enable on ESXi host as well. And you can log like what the physical offset would be of a file read. And it's the same. So like I'm pretty sure my calculation is correct. Like, I'm pretty sure I got all the math right, I got all the offset right, stuff like that. But for some reason, if I just compare my data, if I just hex dump it, I'm still just so many bytes off. So I'm like, I want to reverse engineer this further because I just like, okay, well, I'm just gonna, you know, not stop until I 100% label everything in IDA. I didn't do that. I'm not that crazy quite. But I do want to make my reverse engineering life a lot easier. And having anything with symbols or debug info is gold when you're doing reverse engineering. So I often just try to find, you know, scrap something together from public sources. And one of my favorite things to do is use VirusTotal retrohunts. And I just copy-paste some strings, random strings I find in binaries. And I just run a retrohunt and see if I can find anything that has any reference to these symbols or these constants. I get 3 matches, very exciting. Unfortunately, the first one is myself. The second one is myself as well. But the third one's interesting because that says it's an elf. So it's a shared library. So what is this file, this magical file which has a reference to this string? It's an ELF32 binary. Compiled with GCC2, which is old. While I was making these slides, I was pretty curious, how old is that? It's older than me. And I noticed, so on the bottom right, you see like some strings that were in this binary, and they were in sections named .stab and .stab-st. And I was like, what is this? And I was already halfway implementing my own parser for this. First try throwing into IDA or Ghidra. Unfortunately, they didn't recognize it. And I was like already making some Python code to parse this into, you know, some readable format. Turns out this is like a stabs debug format, which to my knowledge is pretty old, like predates Dwarf. But you can still dump it with object dump -g, and you get like a nice C header file as output. That you can just, you know, inspect, scroll through, do whatever you want. The binary itself turns out to be some random binary from an ESX3 installation. So it wasn't called ESXi back then, it was called ESX. And it was like an old RPM-based version of ESX before they had their own fancy kernel, and they were actually like Linux-based, and they just shipped a whole bunch of RPMs that they installed on the Linux base. And it turns out that some of those old versions actually shipped with debug builds. So the most sane thing to do after that, of course, is to start hoarding ESX installation media and start figuring out what is the range of versions that actually contain debug symbols. So this is my target, and I, with my 3 greatest friends, VirusTotal, Instant Archive, and Google Dorking, I try to collect as many installation media as possible. I get quite a lot of old versions as well. This screenshot is like, it doesn't quite do justice how much time this actually cost. It probably took me like a week, maybe like a week and a half to actually collect all of this, like find all of these things. So many URLs are just broken, don't work anymore. But I got quite a lot. I also, while doing all this searching for all these symbols, I stumbled upon two blog posts and one interesting presentation, which specifically talk about something called VMware Workbench. And I mean, the title says, get symbols. I'm like, I want this. I want to get symbols as well. But you know, then it also says authenticate with VMware user credentials. You know, download the VMware Workbench. Okay. And then you can just have an RPM with symbols. I'm like, this is great. I want this as well. But then you know, there's a screenshot as well of what this would look like, and you can see like VM kernel, like all the builds, like 620 debug symbols available. I'm like, this is great. But unfortunately, reality caught up to me. Broadcom, you know, acquired VMware, and well, everything's down. You can't get any of this stuff anymore, ever. It's unfortunately lost into the void. So this got me pretty sad. But I tried emailing everyone involved in these blogs as well, and fortunately, the author of the ZDI blog actually had a copy of one of these files at least, or like two or three, and he was able to provide them to me. So I'm very very gracious for that. So the TLDR, turns out that until ESX 3, all binaries included debug symbols, so like the stab debug format. And it turns out that VMFS 3 was introduced in ESX 3. And because VMFS 3 is the version that well, like supports directories, like it's a pretty big rewrite of VMFS. But fortunately, like VMFS 5 and 6 are largely incremental improvements on VMFS 3. So I can still use these symbols to get a pretty good base understanding of how VMFS works. Onto ESX 3.5, there are debug versions of all binaries. So not quite symbols, but still you get debug assertions, a lot of debug prints, and that really helps out in reverse engineering as well. The data that was lost on the VMware Workbench, kind of like, fortunately, I found out in the end, it only contained like the kernel, so like the base kernel binary. And you don't get any symbols or debug versions of any of the kernel modules, and VMFS implemented in a kernel module. So I wouldn't even really had that much added benefit from having these. But from the one I did get from Reno, I was able to get like a few slightly more modern like constants or structure definitions, but only like one or two instead of, you know, the gold mine that turned out to be the other debug symbols. So you actually get quite decent symbols from this. You get like full unions as well. And this just made reverse engineering so much easier, because instead of having to guess, you know, like what the layout is or in IDA, you know, how certain structures are referenced, I just know that, you know, a disk block is basically a union of all these different things. And a file descriptor, you know, has like a lock block, a meta block, and then a union of whatever comes after that. And that just makes all the reverse engineering so much easier and making your own implementation so much easier as well. So armed with this new knowledge, turns out, so I kind of like tried to look how much symbols I can actually use. So my approach here was to just take a more recent version of the binaries. So I get a recent version of LVM, recent version of VMFS, and then I just try to kind of like match the symbols from the old versions, like have a kind of like side-by-side reverse engineering. So I do reverse engineer like the most modern version of VMFS, but with the aid of like having the debug symbols of an older version. I still have to do a lot of reverse engineering from scratch, of course. But luckily, there's this file. If you open it, there's a Python file in which there are like there's a, like a Python file which has some structures copy pasted in there from like the file system header. It's not a lot, but it does help a little bit with finding out some newer fields on newer versions of VMFS. Well, it's a long story to basically, I thought this talk was about fixing a bug. So I, in my complete re-implementation, I was only focused on VMFS, and when I started, you know, when I finally had all the symbols, I started reverse engineering everything using the symbols. I was like, I haven't really looked at LVM yet. Maybe the problem is there. And so I started reversionering LVM, and suddenly I noticed something in that implementation, and I took so many shortcuts in the LVM implementation, because that's kind of the part where in the beginning I said, I took some from VMFS tools, and I basically took the LVM implementation from VMFS tools. And that's, I shouldn't have done that. I should have looked a little bit closer into how LVM works, because that would have saved me a lot of time here. So I kind of like rewrite LVM as well. And as a bonus, I actually support like RAID configurations of VMFS now too. So what's the bug? This was like my previous understanding of VMFS. Turns out in LVM, you actually have a bunch of extents with, wouldn't you know, a gap in between. And then VMFS, the file system layer is kind of like overlaid on top of that. So this immediately explained like the gap or the offset I was wrong with on reading all of those files. So what I'm still doing in IDA at this point, I fixed the bug. You know, I could have just made a quick fix in my old implementation, but I was like, I'll just see this through. I'll just finish the entire thing. And I rewrite everything from scratch. Take me about a month, a little bit more maybe. But at least this time I know I have everything verified across my own reverse engineering instead of, you know, like basing it off of other people's research. Not to disrespect that, of course, like it helps so much in getting your initial understanding of VMFS, but you do see like a lot of shortcuts taken in the other implementations. So the fruits of my labor is that in the end I wrote a bunch of code. It got merged. That's good. Some poor soul had to review this, unfortunately. So what's next? Am I finally done? Not quite. So I'm kind of like working on a blog/report on VMFS, because I think it's a waste to keep like the internal knowledge of actually how VMFS really works under the hood, to keep that logged in a PI file and, you know, some IDA databases. It's not doing it much justice. So there will be like a bigger report on like exactly what are like the forensic implications of VMFS, exactly what are the data structures, how do they relate to each other, stuff like that in the future. And that's it. There's no next slide. I made it. Any questions? The question was, I use IDA, could I have done this with any like other open source decompilation tool? Yes, I just personally prefer IDA. It's what I used a lot before, for example, Ghidra was open source, and before like Binary Ninja was quite as good as it is these days. And I've kind of like just, I have my muscle memory in IDA, so whenever I need to get something done quickly, I just, or like big, I'm just more comfortable in IDA. There's stickers here if you want it, by the way. Okay, thank you.